Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On seating, TVs, and lounge book of Hollywood Casino. Ross, apparently, and I think that's a 6. Casino Charles Lottery. Please play responsibly. Back, Junkies on 106. What have happened? The top pick. 800.
Welcome back.
Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by John Auville and Jason Bishop, running the three-man weave today. EB will be back tomorrow after his colonoscopy. And because he's not here, I'll lead Hit the Skins as we dive into the latest with the Washington football team. First, let's start with wide receiver. So on Monday, Coach Rivera said rookie Antonio Gandy-Golden would miss a few weeks with the hamstring injury that ended his day early on Sunday against the Giants. Mm-hmm. That means they're left with just four wide receivers on the active roster, and one of them was Isaiah Wright. He actually left Sunday's game holding his right arm and never returned. As a result, they dove into another team's practice squad and they scooped up Robert Foster off the Green Bay Packers practice squad. He's 6'2". He played 26 games over the past two seasons with the Bills. He had 27 catches for 541 yards and three touchdowns in 2018. But last year, just three catches for 64 yards.
Yeah, that 2018, and he's an Alabama guy. Shocker. Big surprise.
You know how many they have from Alabama now?
Six.
Eight going.
Eight or ten?
Keep going.
A dozen?
Really?
No, they've got nine. Sorry, I said keep going after he said eight.
Right.
But he's the ninth player from Alabama.
He showed some promise back in 2018. Big play ability type of guy, but didn't really do much in 2019, and I guess they're just kicking the tires, see if he's got anything left. And, you know, they are down a bunch of receivers, and it's looking like a lost season for Gandy-Golden. I mean, he just
can't stay healthy.
I mean, it's going to be a tough transition anyway, going from Liberty being a fourth-round pick to playing in the NFL. You'd like the raw, you know, physical abilities that he brings, but now with the injuries and him playing at a smaller school, it's just – rookie year looks like a wash at this point.
Well, this is another reason why I think Dallas wins because, I mean, think about it. You're already limited offensively what you can do because of what they have, even if they're 100% healthy. Now, if Wright can't go, Gandy-Golden's not going to go, you're down two guys. Cam Sims was playing this past week.
Well, now
you're talking about McLaurin, who Dallas should take out of the game and double him the entire game. I don't know if they will, but because apparently they got a terrible coaching staff. But you got McLaurin, who, if healthy, will do something. But then you got Inman.
Well, it tells me this.
You got Cam Sims, and then Foster will probably play.
He might, but it tells
me. Well, he's actually not eligible to play this week.
Oh, he's not.
Because of quarantine rules.
Okay, he's got to pass the COVID protocols. It tells me that McKissick and Gibson are going to see a lot of balls coming their
way. Heavy load, yeah, yeah.
I mean, those
guys. It looks like, so you have to sign by Monday afternoon to abide by the 6-day quarantine rule.
To be able to play.
By the NFL, and it seems like Foster didn't appear on the roster in time for that. So they might promote from their own practice squad Tony Brown, who is an undrafted rookie, or Jeff Bidet, who they signed from the XFL.
Well, I mean, at least those guys will know the system. But, I mean, you're talking about bringing up practice squad guys in a must-win game against Dallas, even though Dallas is terrible defensively.
I think it's Bidet, but I could be wrong. I really don't know much about him other than the fact that he's super fast and he's a burner.
Sure.
But I don't think he's named after the apparatus that can clean your butt.
Okay,
Bidet. I could be wrong.
Bidet, who cares? He's an XFLer.
Yeah, that's true.
Who might have to see the field because Antonio Gandy-Golden is banged up. That's the bottom line. But it begs the question. So we talked about this earlier, and we can open this up to callers on the AAA Always On Call listener line. Valdez threw this out there in our email yesterday. They're 1-5. There's talk of going for the division, but the division's horrible.
Madness.
People like Cakes would say it's madness. And then there's talk of the other side where people say they should tank. Where do you fall in the equation? Do you think they should go for it and try and get dubs and win an awful division? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have a team that landed Trevor Lawrence?
I don't think they should actively try to tank, but I just think it's lunacy to talk about a team that scores like 17 points a game and it's supposedly vaunted defense is allowing 30 a game, that team could win any sort of division in the NFL.
Well, at the end of the day, at the end of the season, you have one or the other. You're division champs and you're 7-9 or even 6-10,
yeah.
Or you have the number one pick. You can have one or the other.
Oh, I would take
which
the number one pick.
Which one would you choose?
That's easy. I would take the number one pick. Because that impacts you.
Because it's kind of a fallacy that you're 7-9 or 6-10 and you just win a bad division. You're not necessarily getting better.
Right.
Anything can happen in the playoffs, though.
Just explain to me how you tank.
I don't believe that.
How do you tank? Do you play Steven Montez at quarterback? I mean, how are you tanking? Because if you're still playing the best guys on your roster, or the in terms of the depth chart, you can't tank. I mean, you can lose because you suck, but you're not purposely trying to lose.
The way I think the question Valdez is thrown out there, and we can, again, 800-636-1067. I'd love to hear from people. Like, for Cakes, it's a no-brainer, but he's not a fan of the Washington football team. He doesn't care. He cares about his fantasy players. Same thing for you, Jason. Your favorite team is the 49ers, and I'd say the same thing about me. So we don't have that vested interest. Yeah. But if we're blind homers, would you rather have your team in the playoffs, regardless of what the record is? I mean, I saw something from ESPN where the percentages, I mean, it's very likely, according to the math, that a team will be 6-10 or worse and could win the division. I think according to FPI, which is ESPN Analytics, they ran 20,000 simulations, and there's a 28% chance that the winner of the NFC East is going to have 6 wins or fewer.
It's mathematically possible to have 4 wins and go to the playoffs.
Okay,
and win the
division. But here's the way I look at it.
Can you imagine?
The goal is not to squeak in with 7 wins and make one playoff appearance. The goal is to make it to the Super Bowl. And the way you make it to the Super Bowl is you get the transformational player. You hope that Trevor Lawrence equals Peyton Manning. And then he takes you to the playoffs every single year. Well, instead of you sitting there saying, man, I'm glad we won those 4 games that year, that one year back in 2020, and we got the 4th pick instead of the 1st pick.
I guess a better way to phrase it is, what's more valuable to you, the number one pick or a banner for winning the
number
NFC
one pick.
East?
I'm
resolute. All right, well, let's touch the people then.
But again, Cakes, you're not a fan of
it doesn't matter.
The football team.
I trust the process. I'm
but here's about the, here's,
the process
here's,
of rebuilding your team.
Okay, now Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be better, but and I'm kind of taking EB's side on this. He's not here, so I'll take his side of the argument because I think he would want wins and win the division, regardless of what it is, right? The number one pick's not guaranteed to take you to any Super Bowls.
I'm not saying
just
it
a couple
is.
Years ago, you had Baker Mayfield selected. Now, he seems like he's a good player, but, first year was better than
ups
his second
and downs.
Year. This year is kind of up in the air, but you had Baker. You had Jameis Winston, the number one pick in the 2015 draft. What Super Bowls have they won?
I'm not saying
what divisions have they won?
I'm not guaranteeing that Trevor Lawrence is going to be Peyton Manning. He could be Baker Mayfield. We don't know.
Right.
But I would rather put my team in the position where I can draft that guy, where I have the opportunity to draft him and not have to give up 3 number one picks to move up 2 or 3 spots to do it.
I do think it's going to be interesting what happens this week. Because if they beat the Cowboys, then I do think that Ron Rivera is going to be all in, right? Ron Rivera was talking about making hay. That's why he changed his quarterback. And he maybe didn't say 100%, hey, we're doing a course correction based on the awful division. But that's essentially what he said and what he's been doing. So it'll be interesting if they beat the Cowboys, if they then become active in the trade market. Because there are guys out there, if they want to boost their receiving crew, as we mentioned, maybe dream candidates, but that are going to be available. And will Washington become a buyer and try and move a player or two to get a position of need filled?
I think it's
like
more
tight
likely
end or wide receiver.
Cakes, you're also under the assumption that the organization and the coaching staff isn't going to mess up the number one pick.
True.
Because that's quite a possibility.
I'm well aware that drafting, especially high, is an inexact science. You're going to whiff on those top guys all the time. Just like Marcus Mariota. That was a whiff. Tennessee wishes they hadn't picked him as high as they did.
Well, I just mentioned two guys. I mentioned two guys that weren't necessarily whiffs because Jameis had a bunch of starts and had some success, but he certainly didn't win a Super Bowl.
Well, I would already consider Baker a whiff. I think if he hasn't progressed further than he has at this point, being the number one overall pick, that's a miss at this point.
You think Baker's a miss? He's actually having a decent year.
I think he's a miss.
Well, it's kind of too early to tell, but so far, I mean, if he didn't have that bad second year, I would have said.
So far, he's a miss. He's not leading his team. He's playing in a system where he's being devalued because they want to run the ball more than they want to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He's a miss.
Well, let's see what they do this year if they make the playoffs. But I'm with you, Cakes. I mean, at least you give yourself a better chance if you can draft a quarterback, you know, number one or number two. Not saying they can't miss on that. You can. And you have to put really good players around them. But getting back to this game on Sunday, if Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan lose to Kyle Allen and, Cam Sims and Dontrell Inman and Logan Thomas and Robert Foster, he can't play, but guys like that, guys that they're pulling off the practice squad, they should be fired.
And he might be heading down that path.
It's possible.
You know, Jason Garrett's laughing.
There's just no talent, no reason to think that Washington would be able to put up a ton of points with those guys.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Before we hit the phones, this is a little bit of a dart. I would not be surprised at all if Ron Rivera does not want to start all over with a rookie quarterback, that he dips his toe into the Cam Newton / Ryan Fitzpatrick pool. And just bring in a veteran and say, you know what, I'm not going to tutor a guy from the ground. I'm not going to build him from the ground up. I'm going to go with an established
vet. Well, you can still draft a guy and then build
him
that way.
You can draft a guy that you can work with, but I'm going to have a veteran that from day one in 2021 is ready to go.
Right.
Week one, you don't have to just coach him up. You've got your veteran guy. I don't know who it is.
And you say it's impossible to be EB's guy, Kyle Allen.
Impossible.
Kyle Allen means, again, his ceiling is career backup. And I've seen enough to know that he's a career backup that turns the ball over at an alarming rate.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Valdez posed this question. It's interesting. Would you rather win the division when it's all said and done or end up with the number one pick? Because they could win the division. It's winnable. I just told you the percentage. The likelihood that a team could have six wins or less. Let's go to JaVale in Culpeper. JaVale, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, man?
Hey, JaVale.
What's up, JaVale?
What's up?
Good. Hey, check this out. Hey, and before I say this, I know Cakes and I know Lurch, you're gonna laugh at this, but you know what I'm saying? As competitors, man, and as professional athletes, man, those guys want to win. They want to win. And if you can win the division at 6-10, 7-9, whatever it is, I mean, they want to win, man. And you know, they don't care about the draft position for next year. They're, you know, 2025, those guys aren't even going to be on the roster. They're going to be on other squads next year. So, I mean, they want to win this year. And the division is wide open. And, you know, if JP, you said it perfectly, you know, other than EB, you guys aren't really fans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you want the team to do well, you know, for your job and for your ratings. But you guys aren't really invested as fans, you know, as we are. And if they could win this game on Sunday versus the Cowboys, man, the division is wide open, and they could win the division. And I'm going to end with this, and don't laugh, man. You know, McLaurin gets doubled and blanketed and bracketed almost every play, and it's hard for him. And even though he hasn't been on the roster, and I know you're going to laugh, even though he hasn't been on the roster, his suspension has still been served over these first 6 weeks. You bring in somebody like Antonio Brown just for a one-year prove-it deal just to give a spark and open up the offense, especially if you win Sunday and you have a chance to win the division, because Rivera and I believe the squad wants to win the division.
I mean, if you're going to go for it, why not? If you're going to go for it. I mean, that's why I think if they win this game, If Ron Rivera is serious about winning the division, let's say Kyle Allen plays well, they win. So now they're 2-5, right? They're 2-5.
And they're right in the mix.
And let's give the Giants the win against the Eagles. So 2-5 is first place. Now, if the Eagles win, 2-4-1 is first place. It'd be a half game back. But if the Washington football team wins, good chance they're in first place. Tied with the Giants. Okay? That's how bad the division is. So let's say Ron Rivera looks at the landscape and says, you know what? We can get better at tight end, maybe kick the tires on David Njoku if they can make a trade, not give up that much, or bring in a receiver like Antonio Brown, or John Ross apparently wants out in Cincinnati. He's a burner. I mean, I think if they win, they're going to explore those type of options. If they lose at 1-6, even if you're still just a game back, I guess you'd be 2 games back of the Cowboys, then I think that's over.
If you're 1-6, you sell off every piece that another team might want outside of Chase Young and McLaurin and Gibson. Yep. Everybody else is up for grabs.
I would agree. If they lose this weekend, this is their chance. If they're going to make a run for the division, they can't lose and fall 2 games back in Dallas because they're not going to make that up. So if they can win this weekend, I would agree with you. There's a chance, all right? Small, but there is a chance. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll take more of your calls. What would you rather have happen? Washington wins the division or Washington lands the top pick? 800-636-1067. More of your calls next here on the Junkies.
Back of the Cowboys. If you're one in every piece that another team.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. For the Washington football team, it is Dallas week. They take on the Cowboys, who are the division leader right now with just 2 wins. Washington at 1-5, just a game back. Of course, you have the Giants also 1-5, and you have the Eagles at 1-4-1. According to ESPN Analytics, there's a 28% chance that the winner of the NFC East will have just 6 or fewer wins. They ran 20,000 simulations, and in fact, 13 times, I know that's a very small percentage, a team won the division with 4 wins.
No way. 4 wins. That's an embarrassment.
Well, that tells you what is possible, and that begs the question, which we've thrown out there, because it's possible, as bad as this Washington football team is, they could win the division. They beat the Cowboys. They're right there. They end up with 6 wins, let's say. They could win the division. But everybody knows they're counterfeit and would get blown out in the playoffs. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have the top pick in the NFL draft? Cakes has made it clear he'd rather have the top pick. Jason
couldn't
top
be
pick
more
guy.
Clear.
You know, going back to the top pick, somebody asked a question. I didn't have the time to research. They tweeted us at Junks Radio and said, well, when's the last time the top pick in the draft won the Super Bowl at quarterback? And I just thought, off the top of my head, I mean, Peyton did it with the Broncos, but he's right. You know, you think about the guys who've been winning Super Bowls. I mean, obviously Tom Brady has won a ton of them. He wasn't the top pick in the draft. Nick Foles won one.
Recently. He's a fraud. I still can't believe that he led a team to a Super Bowl, but it happened.
So it's far from a guarantee if you have the top pick, that guy's going to lead you to some Super Bowls. All right, let's go back to the phones. You can always call us in the AAA Always On Call listener line at 800-636-1067. Andrew's in Woodbridge. Andrew, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning, guys. Sorry.
What's up, buddy?
Good. Hey, listen, I just have a take on this season. I think they should go for it. This season's wide open. The whole division's wide open, obviously. Mm-hmm. And if you bomb the season and you wait till next year to draft someone, and you're going to have a fire sale anyway next year with trading away picks or letting folks go, why go after Trevor Lawrence? You guys just said it. You know, there's other guys that drafted lower that won Super Bowls. I mean, why not bring in Darnold or Flacco or, like you said, Fitzpatrick or
Flacco. I say no on Flacco. I mean, that hurts the value.
You know how bad Flacco is? Yeah, you don't want to bring in Flacco.
Darnold, I might be intrigued by, because a lot of guys, when they leave Adam Gase and his weird system where only slot receivers put up big numbers, they tend to flourish. I'd be interested in Sam Darnold, possibly a reclamation project, but yeah. I'm going
to
go no
to
on
give
Joe
up
Flacco.
To get him. Yeah.
But he's a fan who's saying go for it. I think he was wrong with everything he said about the quarterbacks coming in next year. He just wants them to go for it this year.
He thinks that you can just fill the gap by finding a free agent and plugging them in instead of going via the draft.
But you can't because there's not a lot of talent around whatever free agent you bring in. It's not like they're loaded with talent at the skill positions. It's not like they're loaded with talent on the defense. It's not like they're one player away. They're not a quarterback away.
No. Yeah, but maybe you draft a receiver high with your first-round pick. You draft a tight end, you know, with like a third-round pick, and you bring in your free agent quarterback, and now all of a sudden you have something to work with.
Well, it depends on who that free agent quarterback is.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Let's go to D.C. Brian, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
What's up?
I think it's a win-win situation, really. You can still go for it. It's like a tanking anyways because we're not going to win more than, what, 5-6 games? Mm-hmm. We'll still get the division and a top 10 pick. Forget the quarterback. I would go for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, maybe. It's a possibility. I mean, if you're drafting 4 or 5 and a couple of those top quarterbacks already taken, then, yeah, you might go offensive tackle, the Sewell kid out of Oregon. But, yeah, that's a possibility.
Remember,
who is going to be your quarterback next year? That's what you have to decide.
And I'd say this about the offensive line. Remember, they drafted Sadiq Charles. So we only saw him for 2 plays. And I know he wasn't a first-round draft choice, but they drafted him. They've drafted a lot of offensive linemen in kind of the second, third, fourth rounds here the last couple of years. So I don't know that they would spend the draft capital, especially high draft capital, on an offensive lineman.
Well, it depends.
Because I think they hope that Sadiq Charles will be their left tackle of the future. I mean, remains to be seen. They'll have to make a decision with Brandon Scherff because he's under the franchise tag. So, I mean, maybe they'd have to address that offensive line, but I don't think they would do it.
End up winning the division, what are the odds that Allen is your starter next year?
I think 0.
I think if they won the division he played well, there might be a chance.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I don't think he's generally in their long-term plans, but if he, you know, you got to leave open the possibility if he played really, really well and they know that it's a long-term rebuild, maybe he's the bridge quarterback for another year.
Look, maybe if they do win the division at 6-10, he obviously gets credit for that. He'll come in as your number one, but they draft somebody or they bring in another veteran to battle for that spot. I don't know if he'll be the clear-cut number one.
If you're supposedly trying to do a rebuild mode, would winning the division kind of put that on the back burner?
I don't know.
What's happening here? Is this a rebuild? Is it a win the division year? I don't understand
Valdez,
Ron
I'll say
Rivera's
this.
Vision. Valdez, I don't get it.
If it was a normal year where you're beating out good teams to win the division, then maybe. But if you're beating the worst division in the history of football, I don't think so.
Would fans be fired up to win the division at 5-11, which is a possibility?
I guess
some weird dyed-in-the-wool Burgundy and Gold fans would just love it.
Because then you're going to get embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs.
I mean, obviously you'd be the joke of the playoffs, but, you know, you made it.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
They're NCAA tournament teams that get fired up that do that all the time, right? They have a losing record. They go run in their conference tournament, and they make it to the tournament, and they're dancing.
That's different.
You know, the Seahawks beat the Saints.
Sure.
It's possible.
Now, by the way, I think if you do end up winning your division, despite your record, you end up with a terrible draft choice. Right? So you'd end up picking like 18 or something like that.
You'd be middle of the road, middle of the pack. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. What would you rather have at the end of the season? A division banner in the NFC East or the top pick in the draft? Let's go to AJ, District Heights. AJ, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Appreciate the call.
Hey, AJ, what's up?
I don't think we should. I've been a Redskins fan. I mean, Washington football team fan for forever. And I don't think we should do either. I mean, we got to get realistic about where this organization is. I mean, we're in the Jets category. And for us to be talking like we're in the Patriots category, I don't care if we had 80 number one picks in a row. We're making bad decisions year after year after for 25 years. We've been making bad decisions. So at this point, it really doesn't even matter. They obviously not interested in developing players. We're picking the wrong players. I feel sorry if we were to get Trevor Lawrence. I feel sorry for Trevor Lawrence's family if we were to get him because we wouldn't do right by him.
Right. Well, you can say that right about a dozen teams.
That's a good point, my man.
So we got to build the team from the inside out. I would rather see us – I mean, we did address the defensive line. I have to give him credit for that. We have to address the offensive line, and then you build skilled players around. We don't just put skilled players in with a doo-doo offensive line and think Trevor Lawrence is going to be some type of hero. I don't think that's going to work. And then to somebody else's point earlier – how many number one quarterback picks have won in the last 20 years have won a Super Bowl? You know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't a number one pick.
Eli
Tom
Manning.
Brady wasn't a number one pick. Pat Mahomes wasn't a number one pick. No. I mean, it just happened. Lamar Jackson was picked 30th. So good teams find good players wherever they are. And we obviously haven't done that. So this whole thing about picking and tank, you really can't tank in the NFL. You have to go out there and play. It's 16 games, not like 82 games. You really can't tank. Miami tried it last year. They didn't do it, but they still got their guy. They still got Tua. So I don't think they should tank, but I think we have to be realistic about where we are as a franchise and stop this. We win the division. And so what? We won the division in 2012 with RG3. He's not even here. No one from that team is even here anymore. So no, it don't really matter
points,
to win
AJ.
The division 1 year.
You make right, some again, good points.
Couple things. You're right. Number one picks don't guarantee a Super Bowl wins. All right. So just looking at the list, the if you're talking about the last 20 years or so, Peyton and his brother Eli are the only number one picks to actually win the Super Bowl. All right. But and I know Washington fans want to win a Super Bowl. Washington fans should just want to be competitive year after year after year. I mean, that's a high goal.
Right. You got to build it
to go win a Super Bowl. But you should just want to be in the playoffs for back-to-back years. Let's start there. And if you look at some of the number one quarterbacks that have gotten their teams competitive, Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl, right? Cam Newton went to a Super Bowl, didn't win, but these teams, but they made their teams competitive. They made those teams better. That's what you should be striving for. Winning the Super Bowl is hard. I mean, a lot of things got to go right to win a Super Bowl. Just get better and get to the playoffs in back-to-back years. Start there.
And as far as teams,
and a number one pick could help you do that.
As far as teams that are actively tanking, there's one right now, and it's the Jets. Because if they cared about winning, they would have let go of Adam Gase by now. But they don't want. They know that they're the favorite. They're the odds-on favorite to land the number one pick, and they're not going to do anything to jeopardize that at this point in a lost season. Why would they?
Well, let's see if they go back to Sam Darnold. What they should do is stick with Flacco.
Right. If they stick with Flacco
and then they can't
the end of the
win
season,
a game.
You know they're actively tanking.
But if they go back to Sam Darnold, they're trying to win games at least because they're playing the better quarterback.
Isn't it just so crazy, though? We're in week 7 of the NFL, and both the possibilities of winning the division and getting the number one pick are on the
they're
table.
In play. Yeah.
It's wild.
It's mind-blowing.
It's nuts.
By the way, I've noticed
never seen
this.
Anything like it.
I've noticed this the last 2 weeks, and it's not unwarranted or unmerited. Adam Gase is Cakes' new Bill O'Brien. So Bill O'Brien's out, and he was your favorite
coach
to beat up on.
Am I wrong on
Adam
Gase?
No, but it's just funny. You've just transferred your Bill O'Brien ire.
He's the new punching bag.
Yes.
He doesn't deserve
Adam
it.
Gase.
Look at his results.
Did you not hear what I said? I started off by saying it wasn't unmerited or unwarranted.
He gets the venom because now Bill O'Brien's out of the picture.
Let's go to Alex in Rockville. Alex, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, I think going back to what was just being said, I think it's crazy we're talking about draft picks right now. I want to win. As a fan, I want to win. I want this team to win. This whole offseason has been about, like, a culture change, right? We got to win. We haven't been winning for years. Yeah, we haven't been winning for years. So if we're talking about taking, how it works on us, I have no idea how a professional football team tanks. You just take a knee every down?
Right.
Like, how do you even tank? So you got to change the culture. You got to win a division now. It's wide open. Why not? I do think, though, that if we lose to Dallas, I think it's pretty much over, and it's going to be super embarrassing. So I just want to win now as a fan. I'm hungry for wins.
tired of misery Mondays. I'm just tired of it. I also think, what about maybe potentially Matt Ryan as quarterback coming in? I think he's a free agent, right? Maybe trying to grab Jameson Crowder back, bring back that guy.
I think if Matt Ryan were to become available and you didn't have to mortgage a bunch of picks, I think that's the kind of guy that Ron Rivera would be thrilled to lead his team. A veteran, a guy that he doesn't have to spoon feed from day one. You don't have to worry about him being immature. He would love a guy like that.
Doesn't that feel like bringing in Donovan McNabb at the end of the game?
Look, you don't see quarterback, like franchise type quarterbacks being traded midseason, come in, learn a whole new system. That just doesn't happen.
Well, I don't mean guys, this season. I mean that's like a 2021 and beyond play. I don't mean for like week
eight. Oh, okay.
Eight.
All right. I get it. I'm not sure what his contract situation is.
I think he's got a couple years with big dollars.
I thought he did. I don't think he's a free agent.
Yeah, but you know what? If you want to win, you got to spend big dollars in the NFL.
Okay,
you can't
all right.
Nickel and dime but, people.
By the way, this is why Jason and I think that this game is so huge this week, is because this game dictates the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
Whether you're looking at the draft or you're looking at the playoffs,
it's kind of a win or go home type of game.
Yeah, you don't really get that in week 7.
Yeah, if they win to improve to 2-5, they're all in on the playoff chase.
It's Ron Rivera's narrative for the rest of the season. If you win, it's we're making the push for the playoffs. If you lose, it's we're trying to find the guys that need to be on the team in the future, et cetera, et cetera.
It's the Shanahan evaluation game from back in the day.
And I said this yesterday, if the NFC East winner gets in with 5 or 6 wins. All right, 7's a little different. That's happened before. It's not unprecedented.
Right.
If they get in with 5 or 6 wins, the NFL has to change the rules. Either you have to have a minimum amount of wins to get in, or you just go with the best, 6 records or 7 records, whatever they end up doing.
Yep.
Screw the NFC East division winner automatically gets in. What a farce.
Fellas, warm days and chilly nights and mornings, you know what that means. Time to schedule a $99 heating and cooling check with the 5-star experts at Crop Metcalf. For just $99, a 5-star technician will check both your home's heating and cooling system for one low price. Call today for peace of mind. No matter what the weather brings tomorrow, call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician and proud partner of your world champion Washington Nationals.
Wins. All right,
I love the sports. Excited because sports, real sports fan, is at the sport.
It's not unprecedented.
We go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Give a couple nuggets. We've been talking about some of these things this morning. To me, the big headline was that Tua was named the starter in Miami after Ryan Fitzpatrick helped the Dolphins win 2 straight with 6 touchdown passes in those last 2 games.
And with the Bills stubbing their toe of late, playing some better competition, they're right there in the mix. In the AFC East, and they're making the change.
They're a game back.
They're going to the future.
They're the only team in the division to have a plus in the point differential column. They've outscored their opponents by 47. No other team has outscored their opponents overall. Now, it helps that they just shut out the Jets. But it's interesting. Fitzpatrick has been up and down. All right, he has had some duds, but the last couple games he's been pretty good.
Even with the interceptions, Jason.
Yeah.
Even with the interceptions, he has a 95 quarterback rating.
Well, that's the roller coaster ride you take with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's the picks.
You have to take the good with the bad. You have to take the 4 touchdown games along with the YOLO balls he's going to throw up, down the field, and he's going to let his receivers try to make plays on balls. He's going to try. He's a bit of a gunslinger. That's what he is.
And they may go back to Fitzpatrick. You never know. I mean, Tua may struggle.
And
he's going to play a really good team, a really good defense anyway, in his opener after the bye week against the Rams. So if he struggles there and maybe struggles in the following week and they're 3-5, then maybe they go back to him. But let's see what happens.
I don't hate Fitzmagic as a possibility for the quarterback spot here in Washington after this season. I think it makes a lot of sense, actually. An established vet, a guy who can, push the ball downfield for a team that desperately needs that. I think he could be an option for this team going forward.
Well, maybe as a stopgap.
Well, he's 37 or 38 years old.
You got to draft somebody, and then you sit that guy behind.
Absolutely.
Right. That might make sense.
But just want to point out again, his quarterback rating is higher than Teddy Bridgewater's.
Mm-hmm.
It's higher than Kyler Murray's. It's higher than Gardner Minshew's. He was having a pretty good year.
He's going
but I guess
play.
It was just predetermined that Tua was going to take over after the bye week. So he's got 2 weeks as the starter to get ready for the Rams.
In a league that is absolutely starved for good quarterback play, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to play until he's 40-plus. And he'll probably start.
It's one of the greatest stories probably in NFL history. Because
it's a
pretty
good story.
He's an Ivy League quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a seventh-round pick. Now, he's played for a bunch of teams.
I think eight.
Eight teams. But to start as many games as he has, considering he was a seventh-round pick out of the Ivy League, playing against, you know, defensive players from the SEC,
mm-hmm.
big, strong, athletic dudes, it really is a crazy story.
And he's just a good dude. Like, he's yeah. willing to be the mentor to Tua. He cheers him on. He wants the young buck to do well. He's not one of these guys who's like, I'm not going to help out the young guy. I'm not going to take him under my wing. He's a good dude.
I mentioned Gardner Minshew, that Fitzpatrick had a higher quarterback rating than Minshew. Minshew apparently is on the hot seat in Jacksonville. Their head coach, Doug Marrone, was asked about his young quarterback, who has 11 touchdowns, 5 picks on the year. He's completing 68% of his passes. Marrone said, maybe in the future. He said, I mean, I'd be naive not to say that changing quarterbacks is a possibility. That's up for any position, any play that we can do to ourselves to get better. Mike Glennon is the backup right now.
I was about to ask, who's the backup? And then once I heard that, I realized that Minshew's job's pretty safe. It just
now
is.
We like Mike Glennon, but
yeah. I like Mike Glennon. Don't get me wrong. Like Sean Glennon, like all the Glennons.
Yeah, all the Glennons.
I like that Mike Glennon has made big piles of money in the NFL.
Yep.
I just don't think he's a very viable option, even if Minshew struggles.
You should see the house he's building down in the Raleigh area.
I'm sure it's amazing.
But this is what happens when you've lost 5 straight.
Right.
You know, and you've thrown some pickles. You didn't mention the fumbles, too. He's got a bunch of fumbles in there,
4
too.
4 fumbles to go with the 5 interceptions.
Here's a bulletin. They're going to lose 6 straight because they have to fly out and take on the Chargers and Justin Herbert and company.
Probably.
And there's no chance they win that game.
Of course, Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator there now,
mm-hmm.
and this is what the offense is doing in Jacksonville. They've averaged just 17 points over their last 4 games. Failing to score over 16 in 3 of the past 4. So exactly the juggernaut of an offense.
No.
We mentioned this earlier in Dallas, which, of course, is Washington's next opponent. There's a lot of discontent there. Anonymous players telling Jane Slater from the NFL Network that the coaching staff is unprepared. Apparently, the player told Slater they don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another player said they just aren't good at their jobs.
And that is brutal.
I wonder what happens when, because obviously that gets back to McCarthy and the coaching staff. Do they call a team meeting and go, all right, I know I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to stand up and say it, but who has a problem with the coaching? Like, I wonder if they have a team meeting and they just air it out.
Right. I think that they probably have to address it.
I think
now,
you have to.
They probably don't make a guy stand up and raise his hand.
Right. I mean, because you know he's not going to.
Right.
Here's what he should do.
Maybe the player goes to the coaches one-on-one and says, I said this because of this, this, and this. I didn't agree with this, this, and this. But I wonder how awkward that team meeting would be.
They should have a meeting, and they should make Michael Gallup stand up. Okay. And say, you have one job. It's to catch touchdowns when they're wide open in the end zone. And this is not even fantasy bitterness streaming out of me. This is just like he's standing in the end zone. The ball hits him in both hands.
Right.
No defender draped all over him, and he just drops it. How about you do your job? It'll make my job a little bit easier. Catch a ball. Just catch a ball and score a touchdown. It seems pretty straightforward.
So the trade deadline is coming up here in less than 2 weeks, and you're hearing more and more names emerge. They're all receivers. John Ross, who is the burner for the Bengals, he wants out of Cincinnati. Conflicting reports on David Njoku, the tight end from the Cleveland Browns. So we'll see how things emerge on the trade market. All right, boys, time for the JPPP. Moved it to Wednesdays now.
Yeah. Jason, my favorite part of the
who
the
do blend. We have in at number five?
Ooh.
Number five. All right, I wouldn't agree with it, but just based on the record, I'm going to say, Seattle Seahawks.
Nope, I've got the Baltimore Ravens. I know Valdez says they're counterfeit, and he is the official Ravens outsider.
He is, yes.
The second Raven outsider.
Yes.
Second best.
I respect what he says about the Ravens. They're 5-1, but clearly they don't seem to be firing on all cylinders offensively. Gave up a bunch of late points here to the Eagles last week, so I have them in at number five. Who's at four?
They were thinking about Atlantis up 17-0.
Yeah, Atlantis, they were. Right.
They were thinking about going to play golf for a couple weeks.
Jason, you like to predict. Who do I have in at number four?
Even though they lost and didn't look good doing it, and they were up 10-0 and allowed 38 straight, I'll say the Green Bay Packers.
I don't even have the Packers in the top five this week. I bumped them way down.
You do overreact to one game. You are
there are a lot of good teams that I got to throw in there. I have the Pittsburgh Steelers at number four.
Oh, I was going to say
Pittsburgh only at number four. It seems a little bit low.
Well, they're going to be tested this week because they play the Titans, who I have in at number three. So I like the Titans and Derrick Henry a little bit more.
I mean, the Titans got lucky to win that game.
Probably so.
And it was a bad Texans team they beat.
Yeah.
Poor.
They won a squeaker in at number two.
All right, so that means the Seahawks and the Chiefs are 1-2, or maybe vice versa.
I've got the Chiefs at number two. Yeah. They went to Buffalo. They pounded the football, ran the ball well. Remember, they've also added Lev Bell. So they got Le'Veon Bell into the mix for later in the season, and that leaves the Seahawks in at number one, and they just had a bye, right?
Yeah. Right.
By not playing, they moved up in my rankings.
Hey.
No and love for the Bears.
Bears on the outside looking in. Bucks on the outside looking in.
Bears
Packers
are not a top five team.
Yeah.
Despite their stupid 5-1 record.
Cake just bitter today.
Yeah, he
good.
Is.
All right. I have to give blood at like 10:30, so I'm fasting. I haven't eaten anything. I'm a little bit
cranky.
Salty. Yeah, I'm cranky. Cranky McSpanky.
All right,
cranky
coming up next,
love
Mike
it.
Jones from USA Today joins us, NFL columnist here on The Fan. They went to well. Also, Lev Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.